Contrary to popular belief, most guys with man breasts cannot just bench press their way to perfect pecs. They have a medical condition called gynecomastia, and Dr. Frank Lista of the Plastic Surgery Clinic can help. A world-renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Lista has perfected the procedure for correcting gynecomastia. Find out more at theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca. Get off the bench and into the game. Theplasticsurgeryclinic.ca.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
No, it's actually not Jeff Blair. It's actually Joey Vendetta for the final time. Thanks for letting me be with you for the last 3 weeks. We have a show today that will titillate you, that will entertain you, that will give you pause for thought. You will discuss sports. Well, I was going to say like never before, but I really don't know how you've discussed sports before. All right, so the Yankees are idle last night. Baltimore loses. And Toronto gets just spanked. How bad was that call at home plate? Just how bad was that call? It was brutal. Gibbons, I don't know how he stopped short of like grabbing the umpire and choking him. Because that's what I would have done. Or tempted to do. Been tempted to do. So again, luckily, no real damage done last night in terms of the standings for the Jays. Because Tampa lost to Cleveland again. And as I said, Baltimore lost to Texas. And the Yankees were idle. Now, the Jays have a tough stretch coming up. Red Sox are done. Now it's the Tigers for three. The White Sox for four. Then the Royals for three. So we're basically at the halfway point of the season. And I'd like to ask you this, Blue Jay fans. And we're going to have Shai Davidi here in a second. Who's your MVP? Who is your Toronto Blue Jay MVP? The phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. Think about it. Or hit me on Twitter, at Radio Vendetta. We'll also take your calls this morning on the Toronto Maple Leafs free agent signings. Did you even notice? Did you notice who they signed? Did you pay attention at all? Kind of extremely underwhelming, right? As I was saying yesterday, it's a placeholder. By the way, Dave Nonis has been granted permission to talk to the Anaheim Ducks. Just so you know. I know that was something that you were concerned about. So Dan Winnick is signed for a year. I like Dan Winnick. Nice guy. Honest player. Hard worker. Got about $1 million more a year than he made last year. Mark Arcabello. Is he going to be one of those quote-unquote value signings? Richard Ponick. He was all right. Decent enough player. Again, jersey filler. P.A. Parento. A lot to prove. They're going to try to have him replace some of Phil Kessel's goals. Nick Spaulding, give me a break. And then, of course, in the trade for Phil Kessel, a first and a third, gave back a second. And the first is conditional. Scott Harrington and Kasperi Kapanen, Sammy Kapanen's kid, who's the high-end piece in this deal. So unless Kapanen scores 30 goals a year for 4 years, and Harrington becomes at least a number 4D, the Leafs lost this trade. Another trade they've lost. Want your thoughts on the free agent signings as well. At Radio Vendetta on Twitter, I can tell you this. Phil Kessel, he's PO'd about being traded. He's not happy. He said yesterday, and I tried to get him to come on today. He doesn't want to come on because he won't be happy. He's not happy. He loved Toronto, actually. Despite the fact that he got ripped, despite the fact that people were all over him, he actually loved playing in Toronto. He wouldn't have signed for 8 years if he didn't, right? I mean, figure it out. So before we get to your calls on the Toronto Maple Leafs free agent signings, or lack thereof, and whether you're impressed or not, or depressed, we're also going to have on the program today some quality guests who will provide you with fine information and anecdotes and perhaps some humor. DeLon Wright, I was going to say the newest Toronto Raptor, but he's not. Damari Carroll's going to be on the show. Angela Ruggiero, inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, arguably the greatest U.S. women's hockey player. And I think she's on the Olympic committee now and was in Boston because they're trying to figure out how to get the Olympics. That'll be a disaster. And Chris Pronger will be on the show. Still employed by the league, still being paid, got traded, his contract got dealt from Philly to Arizona, I believe. And inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame, or is going to be. Incredible. Shai Davidi joins us now. Shai, your theme music should be on right now, but Derek doesn't know to play Kaja Gugu, Shai Shai, Hush Hush, Eye to Eye, so I'll just say it instead, and hopefully it'll have some sort of an effect. How are you this morning?
I'm all right, Joey. You can just do the music in our heads.
I was going to sing it, and then I thought, I don't want to cause that kind of consternation amongst our listeners because I actually like them. So, all right.
Probably a good call.
Before we get to the Toronto Blue Jays, I want to talk about, I like scandal. I'm a scandal guy. I enjoy a good scandal. And look, this Cardinal Gate or Astro Gate or whatever you want to call it, had its first shoe fall yesterday. The St. Louis Cardinals, they fired scouting director Chris Correa, which is, I think, the first fallout from the hacking scandal. The Cardinals, though, declined to say why Correa was fired, but they confirmed he'd been let go a day earlier after a team-imposed leave of absence. Do the math, folks. Let's figure that out. And they hired this guy, an attorney, Jim Martin, who was hired by the team in February. He declined to say how long Correa had been on leave, and he was promoted to director of amateur scouting during the offseason, and a guy that was responsible for developing some of their top draft picks this season. And so it's interesting, but he's the only guy that's been fired.
Yeah, and I would imagine that there's probably going to be more. But if you look, my guess, and I don't know this directly, but I'm going to speculate here. My guess is that the Cardinals are working to isolate a few people and try to prove that this wasn't anything organizational in terms of a plan or a real approach into trying to hack into the Astro system. And this was more roguish elements, for lack of a better term, that acted out of some personal vendetta against Jeff Luhnow. Now, is that going to be enough? Can they contain the damage and limit the discipline they face from Major League Baseball? I don't know, because I would hope that Major League Baseball sets a real example here. And I think the other 29 teams are going to be hoping that Major League Baseball sets a real example and gives the Cardinals a substantial punishment to create a real sort of deterrent on this one. But the intriguing part of this is when you just start thinking about the interpersonal play, and this touches on the scandal element that you mentioned, you know, every industry is rife with personal jealousies and people who don't like seeing their colleagues get ahead or are angry about it. And I, you know, that's got to be a significant part of this here, that there's a malicious part of this, that apart from the competitive information edge that you can get, there's probably a malicious side to this. And I think that's going to get exposed somehow. And I think if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, that's your interest, right? It's to show, look, this didn't come from the president's office. It didn't come from the GM's office. This is just a couple guys acting on their own because of a personal relationship. But, you know, I don't think that's going to fly, because as an organization, you're responsible for the actions of your employees.
Okay, so let's talk about this game last night and going 1-3 against the Red Sox. Luckily, no one has moved in the East because, as I said, the Yankees were off, the Rays lost, the Orioles lost. The Jays start 3 in Detroit. Detroit has been, I won't say on a tear, but playing better lately. And this is, again, they're kind of spinning their wheels. We're halfway through the season, and I asked, who's the most valuable player on the Toronto Blue Jays, and want to hear from Jays fans out there and the baseball aficionados that listen to this show. So who in your mind has been the most valuable player this season?
You know, I'd have a tough time arguing against Josh Donaldson just for what he's done. The transformation he's made for that team in so many different ways, with his energy, his determination, obviously with his bat, several key home runs, things of that nature. He's just been phenomenal for this team. But if you're the Blue Jays, the thing that you like most is that you can have a debate on it. You know, Russ Martin, after a slow start, has been really, really strong for this team. And you just watch the beating he takes behind the plate night after night, and you try to imagine where this pitching staff would be without him, and it probably wouldn't be very pretty. So, I mean, he's been very important. You know, very quietly, Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion have 50 RBIs each, you know, and they, neither of them has been on one of their the tears that they're known to get on every once in a while, and they've really, as opposed to, you know, doing it in a massive streak, have just steadily accumulated numbers, and they've both been really important too. But ultimately, to me, the guy who's been the straw that stirs the drink has been Josh Donaldson, and you know, it's been an MVP caliber half a season, and it's been remarkably impressive.
And it looks like he's going to start the All-Star game.
That's right. Voting ended yesterday, so. Unless Royal fans organized a mass Moustakas vote in the waning hours, he had a reasonable lead that you'd expect he'd be able to hold on to there.
Yeah, it's being announced on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. So
right.
Well-deserved. And so, look, Shai Davidi is our guest, at Shai Davidi on Twitter. It is Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair, 15 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Friday, July the 3rd. I'm not going to say that I can think of a ton of plays that would even be in the discussion for this. The call at home plate last night, or lack thereof, by Jerry Davis, who called Danny Valencia out. It's very rare that I'm at a loss for words, but watching that, I was at a loss for words, because the part that really got me was that catcher tagged him, right? Like Hannigan comes back to tag him after, again saying that I missed the tag, and he slid around them, and it was incredible to see them go to replay and miss it on top of this. I thought replay was to get things right, not to make me furious.
You and a whole bunch of other people. That play was incredible, and I got to speak to Jerry Davis after the game to get the explanation. And
was he drinking? What was the explanation?
Well, you know, clearly he missed the first part. He thought he saw a tag. Obviously, there wasn't a tag.
And he admitted to that.
He didn't admit to that, but, you know, that's clearly what happened, because that's what the replay officials ruled. The replay officials ruled there was no tag initially. Now, here's where it gets convoluted. The rule for, or the replay regulation, to cover such plays, in a sense, contradicts itself, because it says if the runner misses the base and the replay official said there was no conclusive evidence that he missed that Valencia touched the plate, so in essence he misses it. If the runner misses the base or the plate and there is no tag that's made, he is to be called safe. Now, on the flip side to that, it says the regulation also says the defensive manager can make an appeal that the runner missed the plate before the crew chief goes to the headset to talk to the replay officials. Then the player under that circumstance would be called out. Now, the regulation says defensive manager. Hannigan, by going back and tagging Valencia after the fact, essentially acted as that appeal. That was the interpretation from the replay officials. And so you put those elements together, it's the subsequent tag of Hannigan and the inability to find a conclusive video review of Valencia touching the plate that leads to the out on that play. So
wow. You sound like you work for a law firm. Do you on the side?
Maybe I should. I spent a lot of time parsing through the rules and trying to get various different interpretations last night, and I wrote a piece.
How did you manage to stay awake?
Maybe it's a comment about myself, but I found I enjoy rule minutiae, and this one was about as obscure as you're going to get. But
wow,
you've got three different elements working. You've got like the call on the field, you've got the replay interpretations, and then you've got the regulation that seems to contradict itself. And that's where the confusion lies. And so, you know, basically everyone involved was scratching their heads. I mean, Hannigan, for his part, thought he had the out on the first tag. The initial play at the plate, Hannigan thought he got a piece of Valencia. You know, replay showed otherwise. So he didn't even realize that he got the tag after the fact. And it was Wade Miley, who was actually relatively heads up. And he said, he pointed to Hannigan, told him, you know, go tag Valencia. At the same time, Jose Reyes is telling Valencia, go touch the plate just in case. So, you know, there was a lot going on that play. And, you know, I was joking about this with a colleague last night, but it doesn't matter how much baseball you watch. And I've watched, you know, into the thousands of games. And, you know, there's always something that's going to come up that's going to be new that you could never have anticipated.
It just was an astonishing, astonishing call, or lack thereof, as I said. And the reason it really had an impact on the game was if you looked at what point in the game it happened. And, it, you know, Miley was kind of tiring. The Jays were rallying. And it just snuffed out whatever hope of a rally that there was. I mean, this was by far the turning point in the game. And, you know, happens in the bottom of the fifth. There's still, I mean, you know, when Matt Boyd got just, I mean, wow, giving up that many runs, no outs, and we know that he and Redmond are both done, well, for now anyway. But, you know, when Jerry Davis called Valencia out, I just couldn't even believe it. And, look, there are times where we kind of get on Gibbons and his management style, but he showed incredible restraint, and he got tossed, and I was watching, and I'm thinking to myself, he really hasn't gone off. I mean, I've seen managers go off far worse than that, considering how bad that call was and how wrong it was and how it wasn't overturned. I actually think he handled himself reasonably well. So let's move forward here. Blue Jays have three coming up against the Detroit Tigers. Drew Hutchison on the mound tonight, 8-1, ERA finally under 5 versus Anibal Sanchez, and then it looks like Dickey against Price and Estrada against Verlander. And the Tigers have won 4 straight division titles, and they were favorites this year. Kansas City Royals, of course, we know what they have done, and the Minnesota Twins have been a big surprise. So that the Tigers are in tough in that division, and the Tigers are not a team that's going to throw in the towel anytime soon. You know, Jays going 1-3 against Boston. This is a pretty crucial series before the All-Star break.
Sure, and it's part of a larger road trip. You know, they got three at Kansas City at the end of it, too.
Yeah, they got 10 games on the road, right?
Right, and they have 4 games against Chicago, which is, you know, a soft spot where they really need to make up some ground in the middle. But this is a very significant road trip because the Jays haven't been fantastic on the road this season. And the last thing they want to do is to stumble into the break and cost themselves some ground. But this is, two really tough teams in Detroit and Kansas City. And even worse, this is where the damage from last night can really catch up with them, is that their bullpen got beat up terribly. Like, the six remaining guys were all used. The seventh was Todd Redman, who was designated for assignment. So all your guys were used. Several of them threw a bunch of pitches. You know, Steve Delabar, Bo Schultz, you know, Aaron Loop. They all threw a lot of pitches, so most likely they're out for tonight. So it's not the ideal way to be entering that type of series, especially knowing that, you know, Drew Hutchison has had his struggles on the road so far this season, and he's no guarantee to get you deep in the game anyway. So it's really a crucial point. It's, in a sense, a little bit of a gut check time, because if they're going to be a team that's for real, this is a stretch where they're going to have to show it going into the All-Star break.
So Redman gets designated for assignment. Boyd is optioned. Is Norris up yet? Because if he's not, he's got to be on his way at some point this weekend.
Yeah, well, my guess is that they'll bring up someone else. They'll bring up two relievers to have two relievers fresh, since they won't need another starter until Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can have an extra relief arm through Monday and then bring Norris up Tuesday. But I also wonder if it might be Felix DuBront. And, you know, I was convinced that Norris was going to be coming after Alex Anthopoulos went to go see his last start on Wednesday. And, I think a strong outing with a good number of strikeouts would have made it pretty obvious that it was going to be him. Right now, I think it's a bit of a coin flip because he didn't have the best performance. And really, the one thing the Blue Jays look for from Daniel Norris is the swing and miss. When he's getting a lot of swing and miss, they know that he's right. And he didn't have it that last start. And I wonder if that could change the read here. Maybe Felix DuBront ends up being the guy.
All right. Thanks a lot for your time, Shai. It is always appreciated. Love having you on the show. Have a great day. Jays tonight against the Detroit Tigers, the first of 10 on the road. And got to right the ship. I mean, listen, they got completely ripped off last night. It's simple. Okay, Valencia was safe. It was a turning point in the game. Bad call. A completely missed call. And then they missed it on the replay. I mean, and just incredibly frustrating. That's going to happen, though. You got to bounce back from that. So, Anibal Sanchez on the mound tonight for the Tigers. Hutchison for the Jays. Blue Jay Central live at 6:30 with Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn. First pitch after 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, right here with Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, and Mike Wilner. And then, of course, on your television on Sportsnet Ontario with Martinez, Tabler, and Davis. And then Mike Wilner will take your calls after the radio broadcast. It is Joey Vendetta's 925. And so asking who the MVP for the Blue Jays is so far this year, and we're going to get to some other stuff. There's a ton of stuff to talk about. You know, as I said, what do you think of the Toronto Maple Leafs offseason signing a bunch of guys to one-year deals? Dan Winnick, they signed a two-year deal. I thought he signed a one-year deal, but he actually signed a two-year deal. And he's a guy that wants to be part of the solution. Look, great guy, but ultimately, you know, how many points is he going to get? Where do they replace the goals that Phil Kessel provided? Look, if Joffrey Lupul can stay healthy the whole season, then, yeah, he could get 25 goals. But is P.A. Parento going to do that? Like, where are the goals going to come from? And if you look at the players that they've signed, does it inspire confidence in you? 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your Rogers cell phone. First and foremost, who's your MVP if you're a Toronto Blue Jays supporter or a baseball aficionado in general? Who's your MVP? Look, the obvious one is Josh Donaldson, right? And he's going to get what he deserves. He's going to start in the All-Star game. G-Man 96. Mark Burley, pretty reliable and valuable right now. No question. Look, despite Hutchison's record, I think Burley's the most valuable pitcher on the team. Thomas, in Oakville. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm well. How jobbed was that call last night? Did you watch the game?
Yeah, I watched the game. That was unbelievable. Obviously, it was like, safe. But I don't really think that was the turning point of the game, to be honest. I think when Chris Colabello had the bases loaded twice.
Brutal. Brutal.
Like, I don't understand that. Like, whatever. It is what it is. I know you can't get on base every time, but that was obviously a big situation when we were only down by, what, 4 runs both times?
Yep. Yeah, so, turning. You know. Both times were big, but I think the turning point strictly from a kind of those were two situations that were within the control of the Blue Jays. This one was kind of out of the control of the Blue Jays and was definitely pivotal. It didn't help, but to your point, leaving the bases juiced twice and not getting anything out of it, pretty bad. You're not gonna, especially when you're down that many runs, So anyway, who's your MVP this year? I mean, it's pretty obvious in my mind that as far as positional player, it's Josh Donaldson, but what's your take?
Well, this is how I see it, right? So obviously everyone's going to say Josh Donaldson. There's no question he's the MVP. But my personal MVP, if I wasn't going to say Josh today, would probably be Kevin Pillar. At the beginning of the year, he wasn't even meant to start. He was probably just going to be on the bench player, come on and off. But he's there. He's batting, what, 280? Ish on over 300 on base percentage, and his defense is unbelievable. So other than Josh, like, Kevin's definitely unexpected, and I consider him then MVP for sure.
I would agree. Listen, the guy is on Twitter. Sebastian Lalonde chimes in and says Kevin Pillar, human highlight reel, and has been swinging the bat. No question. Kevin Pillar has been, I would say, the surprise of this season for the Blue Jays. Just no Devin Travis as well, but he got hurt, right? I mean, Devin Travis is a guy that, had he not got hurt, who knows what his numbers would be. Guy's got great numbers, and he's been hurt. So, positionally, this team, I mean, just go down the lineup. It is solid all the way through. It's not like you're sitting there and saying, man, this one position is weak, right? I mean, even the rotation at shortstop and Reyes being in and out, in first base, kind of the platoon situation there. All I know is that you can't really find fault. There's some defensive deficiencies. We know that. And, some guys are better with the bat than they are with the glove. And you'd like to combine a couple of guys to make one player, but ultimately, 1 through 9, pretty solid. I mean, you're not the number one offensive team in baseball without being solid. If you get one more starter on this team, if you can lock down another solid starter, I think that straightens everything out. I think that may even address your bullpen. It's open to discussion. It's Vendetti here for Blair. We're going to have Damari Carroll on the program. We're going to have DeLon Wright, the Toronto Raptors first round pick out of Utah. We're going to talk to Chris Pronger. We're going to talk to Angela Ruggiero. And we're going to take your calls. What do you think of the Damari Carroll signing? What do you think the Raptors need to do next? Wesley Matthews is out. See ya. Sayonara. We'll touch on that. Tiger Woods shoots an amazing 66. Is he back? Chambers Bay was his undoing, but he might be back. Vendetta in for Blair. It's 9:30 on a Friday on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show with special guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Minutes in front of 10 o'clock. It is Joey Vendetta in for Jeff Blair. Nice weekend. The weather's going to be great. High of around 22. Sunny all weekend long. And don't you deserve that. It's going to get up to like 27 degrees. That's pretty awesome. You deserve it. I'm here to protect you, your interests. What do you think of this Damari Carroll signing? We're going to take your calls. By the way, it's going to get to 27 on Monday just in time. for you to go back to work. But it'll be 24 tomorrow and Sunday. Pretty sunny all week long. Jody Shelley joins us right now, who is on the Columbus Blue Jackets broadcast team, but played in the NHL for a long time. And as we like to say, was one of those guys who was great in the room. He was great outside the room, too, but he was really great in the room. Jody, thanks for doing this. How are you, man?
Joey, it's my pleasure. I didn't know you did the weather also, but sounds like it's going to be an impressive weekend up there.
Are you in Columbus right now?
Yeah.
We had a good time in Columbus at the All-Star game. You were a great ambassador. You should consider politics.
You know what? Ambassador is now part of my role with the Columbus Blue Jackets, so I appreciate that. I'll pass that along to the powers that be here with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Let them know that you have the stamp of approval.
Feel free to forward me their email address, and I will definitely write them a nice note on your behalf saying how Jody Shelley welcomed me to Columbus. And I must say that I was not necessarily looking forward to making it to Columbus for the All-Star game, because I was like, what are we going to do in Columbus? It might be seem to be, I don't know, not the most exciting city in the world. Yet I was not only proven wrong, I was pleasantly surprised. Now, you've been there for a while. Tell us about Columbus as far as what it has to offer if someone wants to live in Columbus. Anything that you can point out that is just, other than the fact there's probably not a lot of traffic.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, not a lot of traffic. Listen, one of the best college football, college sports towns in the United States, that was before hockey got here, in the world. And then, well, we have Jack Nicklaus grew up here. If you like golf, we have some of the best golf courses in North America. It's the things that go on here. You know the nightlife. You saw it. You set it up and set it up for the All-Star break. I saw some of your buddies there. And I'm telling you, it's a phenomenal place to live. We've got Tim Hortons, so that's a little taste of Canada for me. A lot of Canadians down here. We're 6 hours from Toronto, 3 hours from Windsor. So it's situated right, and we got NHL hockey. And I tell you what, I love it. It's a hidden gem.
Listen, I love the nightlife. I love to boogie. And I did it pretty well in Columbus when we were there for the All-Star game. And
yes,
the Columbus Blue Jackets are making some moves, right? Like, just it's, I must say, the Blue Jackets are making some moves, and you got to be pretty pumped.
Yeah, we're pumped. There's a big buzz around this town. It's the way they ended last year, big run at the end. Of course, they were out of the playoffs, but they had finally got all their guys healthy and on the ice. So that was encouraging. And then they went and got Brandon Saad, who's been talked about probably the biggest name we've heard the last 2 months has been Saad as far as the playoffs, the Stanley Cup run, 22-year-old kid. What a guy to have in an organization. And then Jaromir Kekalainen quietly goes out and gets him. Gives up a couple big players, and Marco Dano, who's got a bright future, kind of like a Hossa-type player. And then Anisimov, who's an established centerman, smart player, so he's a good guy down the middle. We lost the Testu down the middle, too, but that Saad deal has created a buzz. I think free agents, you know, just before the free agency started on July 1st, you signed a guy like that. I think that opened up a couple more eyes as far as, hey, this organization is doing some great things. They've got a world-class goaltender, which, as you know, is a luxury. So a lot of good things happening here. We have an identity, and that's something that I think if you look at the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I know you're in that market right now, they're looking for that identity. They're going to get there eventually. But right now, our identity is on the ice with this team and these players that are on the ice with it.
So, Jody, and our guest is Jody Shelley. So, look, the Columbus Blue Jackets making this move. Let's talk about some of the moves in the offseason. The Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, traded Phil Kessel, and Pittsburgh is not that far from Columbus. And Phil Kessel was a polarizing figure in this city. When things were good, everyone loved him. When things were bad, he was the whipping boy. You know, you got columnists in the city of Toronto writing articles about how he liked to go have a hot dog every day at 2:30. Like that's relevant, right? Like, we don't all like to have a hot dog, right? Like, and it's pretty funny because, as you know, the best player in the deal usually means you've won the deal. Now, this is going to take some time to bear out because the Leafs picked up a first and a third. The first is conditional. They picked up a couple of prospects in Harrington and Kapanen. Kapanen's the high-end skill guy, so he has to pan out. But coming from a NHL background and playing in the NHL, tell us about in the room, when you're in the room and the guys are getting ripped in the media, and they say they don't look, they say they don't read, they say they don't listen. It has to have an effect on them, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And a hot dog every day would have an effect on them, too. But, yes, the media, these guys watch everything. Twitter, anytime you tweet them at Twitter, they're catching it. They're on it all the time. Now, I don't know if Bill's on it. But he's a good guy. The guys in the room loved him. I know a few guys in that room. They liked him. They were all going through the same stuff together. But he's just not a part of what they're trying to do. So, you know, it affected them in the long run. All you want to do is win. And when they won there early in the season, those guys were on top of it. I mean, they were in a great spot. They know how special of a place Toronto is. But then they got the other end of it towards the end of the year, and it was so fragile. You almost felt bad for them on the outside looking in the sense that they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know which way was up because nothing they did was going right. So now you bring in Mike Babcock, and I think him with Shanahan, being on the outside looking in, you guys have got an identity now in the sense of, hey, we don't want Phil to be here. It's kind of old what he's done. He's a great player, but they want a new regime, a new attitude, a new look, and it kind of sends a big message, doesn't it, to the guys like Van Riemsdyk and the guys that are looked upon to be big-time players there to say, hey, you know, we don't agree with this and the way he was carried himself around town, and we're just going to try it my way. And I think that's an exciting thing, not only for Toronto, but how about the whole National Hockey League?
Yeah, and look, there's a bunch of moves that happened as well. And yesterday, I think a couple of big moves happened for the Washington Capitals. They lost Troy Brouwer. They may lose Joel Ward. It looks like he's not going to re-sign there. He might. But picking up Justin Williams and TJ Oshie, are you kidding me? Like, how significant of an upgrade are both those guys in Washington?
Well, how many Game 7s has Washington played? So think about that, and they've come out on the wrong end, most of them with the Rangers, most of the time. They pick up Mr. Game 7 and Justin Williams. Like, it was interesting to see where he was going to end up. We know he's from New Jersey. Washington is a couple-hour train ride away. It seems like an ideal fit. You know, Barry Trotz is there. Williams has a great style, defensive style. He's got the Stanley Cups, the Conn Smythe. Any room would love to have him, but he made that decision on what that team had and where they were going. So I think that's a great pickup by Washington. TJ Oshie, I mean, one of the best young players in the NHL. I hear he's a great guy on and off the ice. He's going to bring that room to another level. Someone that I think Ovechkin will look up to kind of in respect in that sense of, you know, from a different continent, from a different country or whatever, but he's an elite player right beside Ovechkin. So I think they've done some tremendous things in the last 2 days with those two pickups. You're right, Joey. That's an exciting team to be around, I think. And with Holtby getting his feet under him last year and settling down, I think the Washington Capitals are going to be one of those teams that are gearing up for this. Well, this Metropolitan Division has really got some big-time players. If you look at Pittsburgh and what they've done, Washington, what they've done, and now Columbus. And I think Columbus is in the mix, too.
All right, speaking of Columbus, what is Ohio State going to do about their quarterback situation? JT Barrett, Braxton Miller are both going to be healthy. You got Cardale Jones, although I like to call him, I don't know how the guy's name's not Cardale, but whatever, or Cardale, but it's Cardale Jones. Like, you got three quarterbacks. It's a logjam, and Cardale's the guy, you know, who won it, but JT came in and played well, and Braxton's kind of like the old dude. It's amazing that they're going to have this problem.
I know, and then last year it was Braxton to start the year here at quarterback. He goes down, and then Cardale comes in and plays two games at the end of the year, and then goes on to win the national championship. So this guy's a stud, and Urban Meyer is on all the time on sports radio here talking about how great of a problem it is to have. I don't know. I think that, you know, that they're talking about Braxton maybe moving on, going somewhere else, and they still think he's the best athlete of the three. He's definitely got the experience. But I'll tell you what, here in Columbus, Ohio, they talk about football every single day for 4 hours, and they've got this broken down into it's amazing what they've got it dissected into. And it's they're a team that won the national championship that wasn't expected to, major injuries, great sports story. But that really was the story that emerged, was these quarterbacks. And all eyes are on that situation. I'll keep you posted in the fall, Joey.
Yeah, please do. I'm sure you can do that via text. I mean, listen, they sound like they have that minutia managed like you manage your nightlife. When I was in Columbus, you were texting me a minute-by-minute dossier on your whereabouts. Okay, last question in all seriousness, the Mike Richards situation. We know that at the border on June the 17th, there was an incident. He was detained for a few hours. There was OxyContin involved, OxyContin, oxycodone, whatever variation of it was. And the LA Kings have basically walked away from him. They've suspended him. They've actually fired him with cause, not suspended him. But, you know, and then the Slava Voynov thing comes out yesterday, and the Kings say that they're satisfied with, you know, Slava, his plea deal, and the NHL is still monitoring the situation. I'm stunned that the LA Kings have handled this the way that they have. As a former player here, I mean, it's incredible. Like, Slava Voynov may play for the LA Kings again, but Mike Richards, who hasn't been convicted of anything, has been cast adrift. What's your take?
Well, I'm shocked that Voynov's still even associated with the team. I think that's something that you immediately just nip that in the bud and remove yourself from the situation. I mean, from what we know, yeah, that should have been dismissed from them a while ago. Separate themselves from that situation and move on. But Mike Richards, yeah, I mean, that's a tough situation too. I mean, at the border with that stuff, you know, you kind of think, what is he thinking? If a player has a problem, the NHLPA is there to help behind the scenes, and they've done it before. You kind of think through that process, but then you think of certain situations. You know, there's guys like, you know, you're trying to get a fresh start. Maybe you want to. I don't know what's going on there. It's a tough situation to think about. If there's a problem there, if he's got a problem, you know, you worry about him first of all, and what's going to happen. But the LA Kings, boy, they've been dealt. And then Jared Stoll had that situation. He was a free agent, and they removed himself from that. But it's been a lot of this going on, and hopefully Mike Richards gets that straightened out. He's a good dude. He was a teammate of mine. He was a captain of the Flyers when I was there, and loved being around him. And hopefully this they can work through this, and the details come out, and we can figure out what happened here, and he can get things back on track. But you know, I agree with you. That Voynov thing, man, I'm shocked to hear you say that he could play for the Kings again.
I mean, it's stunning. Jody, thanks a lot for doing this, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, Joey. Thanks. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
All right, pal. That is Jody Shelley. If you go to Columbus, look him up. He's the ambassador, not just for the Columbus Blue Jackets, but for the entire city, it sounds like, anyway. It's Vendetta in for Blair at Radio Vendetta on Twitter. Taking your tweets on who the most valuable Toronto Blue Jay is so far this season. And it's interesting to see all the different takes on this. So keep them coming at Radio Vendetta. And also, we want to talk about this Damari Carroll signing. We're going to have Damari on the show in the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to have DeLon Wright on as well. And we're going to get to Chris Pronger and Angela Ruggiero. Still lots to come when we come back on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.